Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the AICPA Personal Financial Planning Podcast. I'm Andrea Miller, and here we are in our third year of delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment, client service, and practice management topics. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP. And stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now, over to our guest.
Thank you, Andrea. I'm Lyle Benson, and I'm here today to talk about some best planning ideas for you to consider for your clients. And these are takeaways from a recent panel presentation, which I gave, where I was joined by Sue Stevens, Ted Sarinski, and Scott Sprinkle. You're going to be having conversations with your clients between now and year end. And we want to give you some tools to integrate some of these planning ideas into those conversations with clients. In a year like 2020, this is that much more important for you to have these conversations with clients and really try to deepen your relationship and try to help clients in a broad array of areas that they need your help in. I was joined on this panel by our panelists today who were just a great resource, who are great technical CPA financial planners, but also very much driven by understanding their clients and coming from their clients' holistic needs and making sure they weave that into their discussion. So I'd like to try to give you a summary of some of the main topics that we talked about on this presentation recently. I'm going to break it down into four areas: income tax planning, estate planning, retirement and financial planning, and finally the investment area. As we think about talking with clients about the income tax planning area between now and year end, we have to take into account that we have an election coming up. We've seen an outline of what a Biden potential tax plan might look like, and we know that there are some changes that would be in the offing if Biden were to win the election and if there's a change in Congress as well. So we need to at least be aware of that and be thinking about that as we have these discussions with clients. You know, an overall strategy from a tax standpoint is always generally to defer taxes into the future. It's better to pay a dollar of taxes in the future than it is today. But we may very well see higher tax rates in the future, not only with a change in administration in Washington, but just in general with the response to the pandemic and the amount of financial stimulus that's been put out there. I think there's a likelihood under any administration, we're going to see higher tax rates down the road. This is a unique year. In 2020, you don't have to take required minimum distributions from your IRAs and retirement accounts as a result of the CARES Act, but it might make sense for those clients, even that didn't take them earlier this year, to rethink that if they feel like they may be taxed at a lower bracket this year than they are in future years. Either tax for themselves or tax for their heirs. So that's an important consideration to put out on the table. Tax bracket planning becomes so important in a year like this, and especially in a year without required minimum distributions. You may find clients in a lower tax bracket, and you may want to fill up some of those brackets with taking some of the RMDs or also doing Roth conversion or doing other things that might pull income into the current year to be taxed at a lower rate than they would have in the future. Capital gain planning gets complex this year as well. Many of our clients may have harvested capital losses during the downturn in March and April of 2020. And now they're looking at capital losses that exceed capital gain. So maybe there are opportunities. And with the markets having performed well since then, in general, perhaps they've got capital gains and you may want to harvest some capital gains to pull them into a year when they might be offset with capital losses or taxed at a lower rate. So really getting a sense of where your clients are on their capital gains and capital losses becomes very important in a year like this. Charitable giving is another area that we've seen a lot of clients that are doing planning along these lines. Remember, this is a year where, again, as a result of the CARES Act, charitable contributions of cash are not subject to an AGI limit anymore, whereas contributions of stock are still subject to that 30% limit. But it could create some unique planning opportunities for clients that may have typically given stock to charities. Maybe they're better off selling that stock, generating a capital gain, and then taking the full value of the contribution if they're running up into limits otherwise. So that's definitely worth thinking about as well. Another area that we've seen, you know, clients are looking for ways to boost their income, and we're in a yield and interest rate environment that are interest rates are extremely low. Charitable gift annuities or charitable remainder trusts can also be great ways to boost income and also get some charitable deduction as a result of it. We've seen a number of clients take advantage of that to get additional yield in this low yield environment. Switching over to the estate planning area, we're in a scenario where we have very high federal estate tax exemptions right now, over $11.5 million per person. We know that those are set to expire in 2026 to revert back to the $5 million plus inflation level, but that could happen sooner if there's a change in administration in Washington. So taking advantage of that high exemption now with current year gifting can make sense, especially for your high net worth clients who you know are in the estate tax scenario where their estates will owe tax. If they're above that $11.5 million per person, then it may very well make sense to accelerate any gifting and do that now and take advantage of these higher exemption amounts. One way that we've seen clients do that are using existing spousal limited access trust or SLATs. Many clients set those up back in 2012 when we thought the exemption was going to drop at that point. And they're a great vehicle to receive assets and still have some flexibility in terms of potential access in a worst case scenario. So that can be a way to make gifts that can use up some of these additional exemptions that people have. And also thinking about using family limited partnerships or other vehicles they may have in place that they've used for prior gifting. We've got a number of clients that are taking advantage of that this year and making gifts, you know, contributing assets to the family limited partnership and then gifting those increased interest to the next generation to take advantage of the higher exemptions while they're still available. When you combine that with the fact that we've got low interest rates right now, that also creates some opportunities for estate planning strategies. Things like interfamily loans to take advantage of these very low interest rates. Transfers to GRATs, grantor retained annuity trusts, can be very effective when the hurdle rate is so low as it is right now with the IRS AFR rates. Sales to intentionally defective grantor trusts are another strategy where you can set the interest rate very low and accomplish some real wealth transfer. Another strategy that was thrown out on this panel was thought of as upstream gifting. So you've got appreciated stock and there's elderly parents involved. What if you gifted that appreciated stock to those parents, who would then get a step up in basis at their death under current law? And then the person that made the gift, the child, would receive those securities via inheritance with the stepped up basis. And again, in the right situation, that can be very helpful. We've also seen during the times of COVID an opportunity for people to really step back and look at their estate planning and make sure they are accomplishing what they want to from a non-tax standpoint as well, making sure they've got, you know, the right people named as executors and the right guardians for their children, and just in general, making sure they know where their estate planning documents are and that they're all up to date and current. It's a great time to take an inventory of what documents are out there and how do you access them and make sure that your family knows how they would get to those. Another point was made on our panel about healthcare power of attorneys. The healthcare power of attorney typically will say, you know, if I'm on a life support, like a ventilator, I don't want to sustain my life unnecessarily in that scenario. You know, COVID's an example of people possibly going on ventilators to get through the disease and then recovering from it. Maybe that should be addressed or at least talked through as you look at your healthcare power of attorney documents. The panel also talked about retirement and financial planning. And many of our clients are rethinking what their overall life plan is and relooking at retirement during the pandemic. Maybe they're not spending as much as they had spent in the past, or maybe they're spending more because they're changing their living situation or where they live. Others may be forced into retirement because of the business impact of the pandemic. But many people are re-examining either on their own or by other decisions, some of these aspects of their financial plan. I think having that discussion with clients and understanding where they are and what may have changed in their goals and their situation is really important these days. And I think that can drive so much of the overall planning that you do. To do that planning without having that sense of direction from clients is dangerous. Many clients are being forced into early retirement. Are they ready to do that financially and emotionally? We certainly tend to focus on the financial aspects of it, but we also need to make sure clients have a game plan in terms of what that transition might look like. Real estate decisions come into play as well. We've seen a number of clients think about moving out of large congested cities to get more open space and not be in cities where they're worried about the risk of the pandemic and future health issues. Seeing people moving to be closer to children or grandchildren or aging relatives because they've just decided that life's too short to not be near those people that are important to them. So a lot of those real estate decisions have financial planning and tax impacts as well on clients' overall situation. So understanding that and how that comes into play is a really important part of their overall planning. So security decisions. You know, we've had a couple of clients who are high net worth, don't really need to take Social Security before age 70 when it would be at the maximum amount, but they've changed their mind and they've started taking it at 66 or 67 because they're worried about shorter life expectancies. They're worried about health issues and they want to start that income stream sooner rather than later. Or they may also have concerns about the longevity of the Social Security system. With a lot of our older population having health issues related to this and maybe not working as much, not contributing as much towards the Social Security system, that could have an impact down the road as well. But having those kind of conversations with the client is really important to have, I think, at these times, and understand where they're coming from and try to help give them direction as well. Throw in the fact that we've had significant hurricanes and fires over the course of 2020, especially this summer and fall, and reviewing property and casualty policies to make sure coverage is appropriate is always something that's important to do. And especially hits home in times like these when there are so many catastrophic events happening around the country in addition to the pandemic that we're going through. The final area that we focused on were investments. You know, we've seen increased volatility in the markets in 2020, and we're likely to see more as the pandemic continues to grow and the case numbers go up, and we go through an election cycle here that has divided the country, to say the least. I think it's important to talk to your clients and help them focus on what they can control and understand what they can't control. And I know from our clients and those of the panelists as well, that our clients are all over the place in terms of their political persuasion, as well as their view of the market, whether it's a good time to be in the market or a bad time to be in the market. So there's, you know, lots of different opinions out there. And I think one of the most important things in our discussions with clients is to bring them back to the basics, bring them back to their allocation, their goals, their risk tolerance, and make sure that you continually reinforce the fact that that's what's important, not what they read in the media or what they see on, you know, performance of the Dow or the performance of the S&P 500. And I think that many CPA financial planners, as they work with clients, are constantly sort of bringing them back to that thought process. And we're also constantly educating clients as well to keep things in perspective. Some of the things that we talked about on the panel were things like divergence of performance this year between growth and value. And the fact that when you look at the indexes, especially the S&P 500, it's really driven by a very small handful of stocks this year. Those companies that have done very well in 2020. And many companies are struggling. Many sectors and industries are struggling as well. So helping clients understand that the return of an index is not necessarily what the return of a diversified portfolio looks like. And constantly reinforcing the importance of being diversified, since we don't know what the future is going to bring, becomes an important part of that discussion with clients. The fact that the Fed is planning to keep interest rates low until 2023 or beyond potentially, the impact on the fixed income markets. I know we regularly see clients saying, well, why do I need to put money into bonds? You know, why would I put money into bonds where I'm going to earn 1% and not have much likelihood of capital appreciation? And that's where you really need to reinforce the fact that it's not for the income. It's really for the dampening of the volatility. It's the diversification benefit of having bonds in a portfolio that is so important when we go through a really tough time on the stock side of a portfolio. REITs are another asset class that people have asked us questions about recently. They're struggling with what do their REITs own, what type of real estate will do well in a post-COVID world versus not do well. Alternative investments are another area that clients are struggling with because they understand in theory, we can explain to them in theory how they should work and how they should help complement a traditional portfolio, but they haven't really worked that well in reality along those lines. So that's something to keep in mind as you talk to clients about this. One way that was suggested on the panel to stop your asset allocation from getting out of line is to stop reinvesting dividends. Often we put that automatic dividend reinvestment in place and dollars are coming out of large cap funds and going back into more large cap funds when the dividends are reinvested. Maybe it makes sense to stop that to not get further out of line with asset allocation targets. That becomes an important part of the overall process. Another area sort of related are 529 plans. Just a quick pointer there. If you've got clients that took money out of 529 plans to pay for college education and those schools reimbursed some of that tuition back or some of those costs back because of the impact of the pandemic on kids going virtual and maybe not being on campus, make sure that goes back into the 529 plans. Otherwise, you're subject to tax and penalty on those funds. So these are just a few of the ideas that we hope you'll be talking to clients about as we go through the end of 2020. It's been a challenging year for everybody, certainly, but I think the value of you as a CPA financial planner has really never been greater than it is now. There's so much we can do to help our clients as we go through these times. I think it's really important to have these kind of discussions with clients. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Lyle Benson, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website to register for an upcoming webcast on post-election year-end planning. Stay tuned for Andrea Miller, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening, and I thank the panelists that were part of this panel again with me recently, Sue Stevens, Ted Sarinsky, and Scott Sprinkle. Thank you.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Our hope is that you found a valuable takeaway that helps you help your clients. Check out the show notes to find resources related to this episode. We are living through unprecedented times, and we want to know what you need most to support your clients and your business. Feel free to send an email to financialplanning@aicpa.org with topic ideas. The AICPA PFP section is the home for professional financial planners, designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your practice to the next level. To find more valuable resources, visit us at aicpa.org/PFP. If you'd like to know more about the CPA exclusive financial planning credential, go to aicpa.org/PFS. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.